This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends.
Welcome again to our show, Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I'm sitting here beside my friend Buddy Miles, who was running the controls and telling me when I need to start over and sound more cheerful at times. My voice can sound like an old man at times, and then I realize there's a reason behind that. But today we're going to do a lot of music, and I want to tell you a story or two and look in the Word. I want to start out with a song I wrote in 1979 about the prodigal son called The Road Back Home. Stretched arms, he'd welcome me. Why did I ever walk away? The road back home, that's the road I must get on. Take me to the road that leads to home. Take me to the Here's a verse in the Bible I want to read you. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter wrote, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This song is called Bully in the Neighborhood.
There's a bully in the neighborhood. He's been seen all over town, talking loud, walking proud, throwing his weight around. He's got people afraid to move. He's got them terrorized. He's the devil, he's evil. He'll scare you if you can, but he's the father of life. It's the righteous name, the holy name of Jesus of Nazareth. Like a lion on the prowl, seeking someone to devour. Like a wolf beginning to howl at the midnight. For some easy prey, someone he can pounce upon. But there's a weapon that can make him flee, and it's right there on the tip of your tongue. I've had just about enough of being bruised, abused, and beaten up. I think it's time to turn around and look him in the eye and face him down. The righteous name, the holy name of Jesus of Nazareth. I've had just about enough of being bruised, abused, and got to run. In the name of Jesus, God's righteous son. One word can chase him away when it's spoken in faith. Yes, it's the righteous name, the holy name of Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you.
I've been well and I've been sick. I've been first and the last one picked. I've had plenty and I've gone without. I've had faith and I've had some doubt. I've had friends and I've stood alone. I've been weak and I've been strong. I've been slandered and I've been praised. Been admired and called a disgrace. Who strengthens me. I've had potential to reach the top. I've been a has-been, I've been a flop. I've been ripped off and I've been blessed. But at this point in my life, I've gotta confess. One thing. Who strengthens me. Been through the fire and I've been through the flood. I've learned from it all. It's worked out for my good. In everything I've ever had to face, God gave the grace to see me. Strengthens me. He strengthens me.
Of all the songs I've written over the last 50 years, I want to play my favorite song. It's the second most requested song that I ever have behind the anchor holes. It's called At the Foot of the Cross. And back in 2014, a group of musicians and myself recorded this at a local coffee house here in Florence, South Carolina. Here's At the Foot of the Cross live.
They were watching from a distance, and they would not take their eyes from you. You were bleeding, they were weeping. Faithful sisters, they had followed you. They could not understand, they could not see. They were mourning their loss, and the sky turned black as the earth turned red at the foot of the cross. He was standing your mother. They were so close, they could hear you sighing. all around them, angry voices pierce the darkness, and you were dying, but they would not leave. They lingered there, no matter the cost. They were staying, they were praying at the foot of the cross. Keep me near the cross, near the cross. May I never stray so far that I cannot see what flowed down to me. Now I'm standing in your presence, Lord, I cannot take my eyes from you. You have risen, I'm forgiven, precious Savior, I worship you. I'm not looking back, and I'm staying here. I've made my choice. Oh, it's real. Now I kneel at the foot of the cross. Keep me near the cross, near the cross. May I never stray so far that I cannot see what flowed down to me at the foot of the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross, near the cross. May I never stray so far that I cannot see what flows down to me at the foot of the cross.
And there's an song in the hymn book, I used to sing it as a little child. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Each time that I would hear it, it would make me smile. I didn't understand what it meant back then. It was just a favorite childhood hymn. But tonight it's real. Tonight I kneel at the foot of the cross. Wonderful, wonderful. Give the Lord a hand tonight. This episode is being recorded in the middle of the summer. And every time summertime rolls around, my thoughts go to baseball. Buddy, you ever been on a baseball team? Good night. Do you have to think about it?
Only in a cornfield.
You've never been on a team.
Did I ever tell you the story about my baseball team experience?
I'm getting ready to tell you one, but tell me.
So I wanted to play on baseball team, and my parents weren't able to take me to the games because they worked. And so I begged and begged, and finally one year my dad and mom finally agreed to let me play. I had a friend that had arranged to take me to and from the games. And that year, for the first time ever, they didn't have enough kids to complete the team. I was so, so sad.
I always wanted to be a baseball player, and I just couldn't hit a ball. I guess you have to hit. And I was always afraid to catch it. To this day, I can't catch a ball. But, you know, I'd play outfield, and the ball would come toward me, and I'd have my hands in the air, and people would think I'm getting ready to catch it. But what I'm actually doing is, dear God, move that ball away from me. But I actually prayed one time, God, can when I go to heaven, can I be a baseball player? Which is a ridiculous thought now. You know, we all get to heaven. Everybody else has got white robes on. You see this guy with a baseball cap and a suit and uniform and all that. And it was an accident, hit a home run one time in my life. And it was one of the greatest days of my life. So I want to play the song we played last week, just because this is the week that the All-Star Games being played. My song about the victory parade of the Red Sox after 86 years of a drought where they didn't win the World Series. 2004, they broke the curse. I take it you are probably a Braves fan. Everybody in the South is a Braves fan. Is that true?
Actually, believe it or not, when I was a kid, I was a Pirates fan.
I was too.
Just because I liked Andy Van Slyke.
I was too. My father moved to Pittsburgh when he was a teenager, and he actually caught a foul ball at the old Forbes Field at the Pirates. So anyway, back to the Red Sox. Let's play this song, Worth the Wait, and then I want to tell you another baseball story. With a sign. The sigh, you know, it's worth the wait.
I'm watching and I'm waiting for a time of celebrating. I've got my eyes on eastern skies. My faith is strong, my hopes are high. It's gonna happen right on time. Every eye will see him shine. We're gonna meet him face to face. King of kings, first place. There'll be some joy in the city when those who are ready begin to celebrate. Bells will be ringing, angels will be singing, and we'll turn to each other and say,
lived in Massachusetts for 16 years, so you can't live there and not be a Red Sox fan. I was actually a Yankees fan the week I moved there, and I learned within one day you would have no friends if you liked the Yankees. So I became a diehard Red Sox fan. Last week we told the story of the Anchor Holes, and I told you the story, buddy, how the second week the Anchor Holes was number one. I had gone on a trip to the upper part of the state, a three-hour drive as a foster care worker. I had to visit a kid at a group home. And so I got back to the office in Sumter, South Carolina, about 11 o'clock. So about 11:15, 11:20, I was on the highway going home. We lived out in the country. And a drunk driver ran me off the road. I swerved, and the car turned upside down in a ditch in January, very cold. And I couldn't get out of the car, and I thought I heard something dripping, and I thought this is going to be just like the movies. The car is going to explode like James Bond, some of his enemies. And I really thought I was going to die. And the weird thought came to me. This is absolutely truth. It's weird what comes to you in a moment like this. I thought of the Red Sox. And the thought hit me. Ted Williams hit a home run, his last at-bat in his career. And I thought, if this is the night of my death, at least we go out at number one. Wow. Then I thought, what are you talking about? Go in the back seat and see if you can get out of that window, which I did. I crawled out. I lived. But anyway, I do love my Red Sox. I want to tell you just a story now. This has no spiritual meaning to it at all. We'll get to the Bible in a few minutes. But my family, especially my dad, have been known for preserving stories from the past, family stories, and this is one of the stories of my dad. It took place in about 1926, I'm thinking, mid-20s. My folks grew up out in the country, and you grew up out in the country, right? Hawkeye, that's the name of the, not Hawkeye, Hawkeye. Well, I grew up near Red Hill, but the official name in the voting precincts is Rattlesnake Springs. So, but my dad grew up, they grew up all over the place, out in the country. They were poor. There's a little crossroads at the county line of Sumter County and Kershaw County in South Carolina called Pisgah. Pisgah was just two stores and a church. That was the Pisgah crossroads. But my dad and his friends and his brother lived out there. That was the poor side of the county line. Down the road about 3 miles is a little town called Rembert. If you go through it now, it's just a flashing light. You blink, it's not there. But I guess in the 1920s, it was a lot more prosperous, and that was the place to go. So they had a little baseball team in Pisgah, just the country boys did. And believe me, they were country. They didn't have uniforms. They wore overalls. They rode to the baseball field. Their baseball field was a cow pasture. They rode their own mules. And the bases were croaker sacks. Do you know what a croaker sack is? A burlap sack, basically. A dark brown burlap sack. They just laid them in the pasture. Of course, they didn't have a lawnmower, so you had weeds there. Wasn't a great field. But they challenged the boys from Rembert, the town with money, to come play them. Well, they had a rude awakening because Rembert showed up with uniforms. They drove in cars. People drove them in cars. So you've got uniforms versus overalls, cars versus mules. Rembert had real baseball bats. The Pisgah guys, they just found a branch, a tree limb or somewhere, or a whole piece of wood, they would bring it down. So they were very primitive. Rembert was very smooth and upper class. Okay, so this had all the makings of a disaster. Rembert had a nice ball field. Pisgah had a cow pasture where you laid dark brown burlap bags. And Rembert also had a tremendous pitcher. My dad was an early teenager when this happened, about 14 years old. And he said he'd just as soon try to bat a bullet coming out of a pistol as to bat the ball. That guy, and he said he was, you know, how they talk down in the South, he said he had arms like a gorilla. My mother said, that's not correct English. It's gorilla. He said, no, a gorilla can scratch his knees without bending at all. So anyway, that's not very funny. But the guy pitched really fast. So he was well on his way to a no-hitter. It's like fifth or sixth inning. Finally, one of these country boys stopped, and he looked at the pitcher in his real country voice. He said, well, if you didn't throw it so ding hard, maybe somebody could hit it. And that was not the thing to say to this pitcher. So he began to taunt him, just like Goliath taunting David. And so he really humiliated him. He says, oh, I didn't know you wanted an easy ball, a little baby ball. He said, oh, I'll give you a little easy ball now. And so he wound up like he was going to throw it 90 miles an hour. And the baseball player was all flustered. So he threw it really, really slow, really easy. But the baseball player was so flustered that he swung at it three times before it got to the catcher. And the umpire said, you're out. He said, wait a minute. He only pitched one time. He said, yeah, but you swung three times. So anyway, my uncle, my beloved Uncle Warner, came to bat, and by some fluke, his bat actually made contact with the ball, so he had a little hit. So he ran to first base as fast as he could, and they kept saying, go to second, go to second. And he couldn't find the base, buddy. Where is the base? You know, it's the dark brown burlap sack. I don't see it. So he saw what he thought was a burlap bag in the pasture. It was not a burlap bag. It was something else dark brown that had been deposited in the pasture. So he thought his teammates said, slide. However, he misheard. And he thought they said, dive. And so he dove into what he thought was second base. And my dad would always end this story. And my, what a mess. That's a true story. That's a true story. Now can we get spiritual now and do another gospel song? The nice thing about doing this show for me is it gives me an opportunity to go back in the archives and pull out songs that I've sung years ago. A song is an amazing thing. It's like a snapshot. It can take you back to a moment in time. And before we look at the word for a few minutes, I want to go back to one of my earliest songs. It was the title of the first record I ever did. And Ray Bolts recorded it on an album called Classics. And he had all these famous songs by famous songwriters, and he wanted to put this on there. And I thought, Ray, nobody's ever heard this song. He said, that doesn't matter. A classic is a classic to the listener. And I remember this song years ago. And so a while back, my current band and I sat down and redid this song. This is called I Wouldn't Go Back.
Never again, no I wouldn't go back.
I've had a principle of the scriptures on my mind the last few days. Thought I would share it on this episode. I call it the joy of generosity. The Apostle Paul, when he was talking to some of the members of the Ephesian church in the book of Acts, he said, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When we start following Jesus, he gives us a whole different set of principles to live by. And one of them is to be a giver more than we are a taker. That's totally against our nature. All of us are raised, we're sort of built to be selfish and to want to take. And yet Jesus said it's more blessed to be a giver. And it brings great joy and brings great happiness to be that kind of a person. But there's also a principle that if we give, God will bring it back to us. Now, I don't want anybody to think this is a prelude to a fundraiser, because many times you hear people do that. If you will give me $10, God's going to give you $1,000 back. This is not what I'm saying, but we're talking about a general principle of being generous back to God. We're taught in the scriptures to be generous to the poor. We're taught to be generous to our leaders, or the local leaders in our church. We need to be generous toward the spread of the gospel. And God promises if we will do that, he will bless us and he will provide. There is a couple of verses I want to read real quickly. One of them is in Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25. King Solomon wrote, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." When we talk about prosper, we don't mean becoming a multimillionaire, but I do believe that God wants to take care of us, and he is pleased when we are generous, and he makes it up for us. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." I think that's interesting. He says, this is how it's going to come back to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. There's also a principle in 2 Corinthians where Paul said that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So the resources that come into our lap, come into our lives, I think we need to recognize that it's not always necessary just for what we want. The scriptures say he gives us seed to sow, and we need to look for ways to give. I remember my dad heard a sermon one time about tithing, about giving the 10%. It was in the days of the Great Depression. He ran a little country store, barely made enough to pay the bills. And he went to the altar and he said, "Lord, I don't know how I'll ever afford this, but I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to start taking 10% and start giving it toward your kingdom." And he was really afraid because he didn't know how he would do it. Right after that, just a few weeks after that, he saw an ad where the people at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, were hiring painters to paint barracks. It was right before World War II. And everybody knew what was about to happen. And this was one of those jobs where you had just a few slots, and there were like hundreds of people lining up to try to get the job. So he and his brother and another friend decided they would take a shot at it. They said, "We don't have a chance in the world, but let's just try it." And he had prayed for God to take care of him, and he had made that commitment to be a giver. And on their way to Fort Jackson, they happened to see a car with a tire blown out. And they said, let's help this older guy. You know, let's just change his tire. This is what happened. After they changed the tire, the man started talking to them. And he said, where are you guys headed today? And they said, well, we're headed to Fort Jackson. We know we don't have a chance because a lot of people are applying, but we're going to put our names in the hat for painters to paint the barracks because it's hard times. And the man looked at him and smiled. He said, well, guess who is the man in charge of hiring the painters? Yours truly. You don't have to go to Fort Jackson. You can go right back home. You're hired. Just come to work Monday. And it was an amazing story to him how that when you decide to give, even when you don't think you can afford it, God blesses that, and it makes him happy. So give to somebody. Give to your church. Help somebody. You know, give them a lift. Whatever. And God will bless you. He's a good God. He's a generous God. And he wants us to be that way too. That's the end of my little sermonette. I want to close with a song of gratitude to the Lord and his faithfulness. It's called Ebenezer.
Said the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone, and my soul cried, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped me. Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped me. I run to my stone.
Thank you for listening to us today. It's always a joy to be able to do this. I want to leave one parting thought with you. The best advice I ever got in my life was this. Keep your eye on Jesus. There are things that happen in life that cause us to divert our attention away from that simple word that Jesus gave, follow me. It could be bad experiences, it could be tragedies, it could be disillusionment with people. It could even be good things. The parable of the sower said that people just turn to other things. It could even be good things. But the most important thing is Jesus. Nothing should be more important than him. Nothing should cloud our vision from simply following Jesus. So keep your eyes on the prize, as the old song said. Thank you again. God bless you. Hope you tune in next week.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. Some are black, some are white. They are precious in my sight. Some are quiet, some are loud. Some stand out in a crowd. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends. Time ever since I was old enough to climb up on a piano stool and get to know them one by one. Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. Some are black, some are white. They are precious in my sight. Some are high, some are low. Re mi fa sol la ti do. Yeah, me and my 88. Me and my 88, I love my 88, me and my 88 friends. We agreed early on, we would play and sing the songs to give the glory to the King of Kings. He's the one who gave the harmony.